in Cambridge in February.
Okay, yeah. So, sir, let me know. I'll be there. Yeah.
Okay, we would love to meet you. Sure.
Yeah, thank you.
Sam, we are live. Without much ado, I'll invite Sam Pitroda to talk about what we are going to discuss today, media and democracy. Go ahead, Sam.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Primvada, and everyone else, all our colleagues who help us in putting this together, Rakesh and few others in US, in Europe, in India, and everywhere else. Greetings from Chicago. We have lots of snow here. It's been very cold. And I'm sure you read about it on and off about Chicago weather. So this is good time to stay inside, read your book, have a drink, and think about events and learn more about what's happening all over the world. I've been watching some news carefully. And Sean and I thought we should be talking today about media and democracy. So I'll spend a little bit of time giving an overview from my perspective as to what has been going on. And then we can open up for a broader conversation where I also want to learn from you, young people, as to how you see media and what you think. Is the role of media in democracy going forward? Media and democracy is a subject that people have talked a great deal about for a long, long time. Even in early days of democracy, in its own way, media played an important role, but because media has always been controlled with interest groups. Traditionally, people in power, kings and others, decided what will become a news, and accordingly, it will be delivered to people. This way of broadcasting news went on for a long, long time. It started with smoke signals, horse carriages, drums, meetings, and lectures until it got to electronic age. It was predominantly print-based media, where you had an organization with staff who made news. And print media was much more structured and organized because it hired professionals to make news. And these people, though had an angle, were predominantly fairly well balanced with their own angle and provided sort of bias, but at the same time, much more open platform for news. As soon as electronic media came, broadcast media became very powerful. Television, radio, and these required a lot more capital. And as a result, government got into the media space. Every government has their own television channel. I remember we used to have Doordarshan, was the only channel at one time. And the messages from the government were broadcasted with a little bit of entertainment, little bit of education, little bit of information for farmers and others. But the news predominantly was based on what government wanted to convey. Same with radio. There were more interactions, there were more professionals, and people felt that they were getting fairly balanced view of the world. Until internet and social media came. That changed everything about news. And that's what we would like to focus on. So as internet came, people got used to searching. People got used to multiple media as opposed to getting two newspapers at home and watching two government channels or five other channels. Now all of a sudden, you could watch news from all over the world. And you didn't have to worry about getting few newspapers and few magazines. And it opened the space. But still, in many ways, golden rule applied to media. To me, golden rule is one who has gold makes the rules. And the rules of the media were essentially made by people in power, whether it was government or businesses that own newspapers. And there are examples of news barons all over the world. In every country, there are a handful of people who control media business. But when internet came in, delivery of news started democratizing. A lot many more people could make their own news as bloggers, then in social media as YouTubers. And news also became more interactive. People could comment, people could express anger, hate started to become an element in the media. And when you look at the new media, you realize that the purpose of new media is to empower everyone. The new media is all about democratization of knowledge, decentralization of implementation, and demonetization of services. These three things became very important in media business. So first, it was all about empowering people with variety of news. So knowledge was decentralized. You could get news on Gaza and Israel war from many different angles, as opposed to just Israel and Gaza. You can get from the viewpoint of student movement in America. You can get from the viewpoint of South Africa's filing a court case. Though these are global news, but you can really get into multiple channels. And then people started making their own news. So that's the important part of contribution of digital media. And third, news became inexpensive. You don't have to subscribe to any newspaper or anything, and you can still get the news when you want, in the form you want, in the media you want. This really democratized news in a big way. And as social media got into the mainstream of news through Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, everybody became, in a sense, a reporter. Like many of you, I also get hundreds and hundreds of items every day on my phone where people want me to watch half an hour video. And immediately after half an hour, they call and say, sir, have you seen it? Sam, have you seen it? It's humanly impossible for me to deal with that because there is an overload of knowledge and information. Social media has really amplified, in a sense, misinformation, because anybody can write anything and it gets blown out of proportion. It has given political space to hate. And in the process, it has become very difficult to separate right and wrong, fair and unfair, proper and not very proper, good and bad. Truth and lies. All of a sudden, we are put in a position where people are forced to find their own truth. This is the price you pay in empowering people, which is good in a sense, because on one hand, you are empowering people. But if you don't teach people how to find their own truth, it doesn't help. So we are going through a phase, according to me, where people are learning to find their truth, and they are not good at it. So they believe what they see, when they see, how much they see. And as a result, lies for a while become truth. People believe what they see. People don't check, double check, have conversation, discussion, discovery. And people have not learned yet to find their own truth. And this is a big challenge in media today. To be able to find your own truth, you require your own value system. And I find we have lost foundation of our value system. Everybody is willing to change their value system if they can grab some more power or they can grab some more profit. In this process, the solid ground that we had built on value system that our forefathers, great grandparents, and great leaders taught us, this ground has shifted. So I know that many people would come to me during my time at Delhi, working for Dr. Manmohan Singh, and people would talk a great deal about corruption. But the fellows who are talking about corruption are themselves very corrupt. But they have no understanding, or maybe they have understanding, they have no shame in a sense, that to talk about corruption in a big way, you need to be a little bit honest. So you have mixed up this value system, and we have lost the very foundation on which humanity works. Humanity works on trust. When you walk on the street, you trust other person that he's not going to shoot you. But then sometimes that trust is broken and somebody shoots you. Humanity drives on the trust that everybody would drive according to the rules and regulation. They'll stop at the traffic light. If they don't, there is accident and you get killed. You get hurt. So the real values like truth, trust, love, freedom, justice, equality, all of these fundamental values have been shaken up. Leaders lie, leaders cheat, they mistrust, they create an environment where people lose each other's trust. And this has created a major, major crisis in the media today. Now with AI and all kinds of new tools, you can fake things. You can put words in my own mouth, which I haven't said, and that becomes viral. Because you can manufacture videos with my face, my expression, my voice, but not my content. So now the challenge in this high technology environment is much more complex. And as a result, the focus has to be on finding your own truth. And we haven't taught people how to find your own truth. We got to go back to values you believe in. And based on that foundation, you have to search for truth. People search for truth based on what they're going to get as opposed to what they believe in. I have always said, time and time again, that the world today is focused too much on power and profit, as opposed to focusing on planet and people. It is that simple to me. Unless and until we begin to focus on people and planet as our value system, the truth we find will be misguided. So when you are looking for truth, you got to focus on values, that I'm looking for truth in this kind of an environment. So in the nutshell, I would say the relationship between media and democracy has become very complex because of this process. Democracy is all about empowering people. News is about informing people, telling people truth, asking people to find their own truth, and representing balanced view. Every coin has two sides. There is nothing that is one-sided. And the beauty in India is that everything you say about something, I can say exactly opposite. And both of us are right. These are the contradictions of India. And this is the beauty of India. Today, digital media is expensive. And as a result, money power drives news and media. I mean, look at the power of Facebook, power of X, former Twitter, power of LinkedIn, WhatsApp. All of these medias are controlled by very rich people. And they make the news. If Elon Musk says something today, it'll be all over. He doesn't have to make sense, but he'll get the platform. If I say something or you say something, it'll go to a limited group of people. So the money power has shifted into media in many different ways. Whether it is in traditional way, Wall Street Journal owner, Murdoch, who controls many, many news companies all over the world, or a small little newspaper operator in India. Media has become a powerhouse because they derive their power from information that people consume. So today, it is all about interactive media. Today, it is all about multiple people making news. Today, it is all about information overload. Today, it is all about spreading the message you want to spread, whether it is true or false. How much money you are willing to spend on spreading that news? You know, during election time, we get a lot of PR agencies and everybody coming to you saying, I can do this, I can do that. But at the end of the day, what they are saying is we need multi-million dollar advertising budget. Why do you think elections have become too expensive all over the world? Because a lot of this money goes to television channels. A lot of this money goes to print media. You got to buy space. In the way we have created the system, if you don't buy space and if you don't get on right media, you don't get heard. And this has become a major challenge because money drives media today. In this kind of an environment, the relationship between media and democracy becomes very challenging because democracy is all about, as I said earlier, empowering people. It's about taking your voice to the right place. It is about truth, trust, diversity, justice, equality. And these are the values. So if you stand on these values and you judge media based on those values, you'll find one truth. If you don't stand on these values and you stand on misinformation, hate, authoritarian attitude, you'll find another news. So many times when people talk about 2024 elections in India, I say, look, this election is going to be the most important election in the modern history of India. Because it is not about BJP or Congress or some other party. It is not about Modi versus who. It is really about the idea of India. What kind of a nation you want to build? You know, when I made a comment about the undue, too much attention given to religion in the last few weeks, I got hacked by everybody. I mean, the ministers and some leading people had to come and comment saying, I'm anti-religion, what do I know about Hinduism? You know, I'm staying abroad and all this, all bogus. But they had no choice but to attack because they felt that I was making news by making that comment. That was not acceptable to them. I was saying that religion should not be politicized. I was saying that religion is a personal thing. Religion doesn't have to be displayed all the time, doesn't have to be worn on my sleeves all the time. And these are my views. Okay. So media decide who to attack, who not to attack. And ultimately, the people who control media decide who to attack and who not to attack. Today in India, we have what they call Godi media, which is sitting in the lap of powerful and politicians who decide what is news and who twist facts. No matter what you say, it can be taken out of context. Few words can be just taken out and broadcasted over and over again to make that the main message from you. You may have said 100 things, but they focus on those four words. And this is the power of media. And as a result, I go back and want to close here before we open up for a broader conversation. Today, the challenge is all about finding your own truth. How do you find your own truth? If you're not willing to find your own truth, and if you're willing to take things as they come up to you, you're going to be misguided. Because the information coming to you is not right. Is not truth. May not be truth. You got to find your own truth. You got to do some work. And if you're not willing to take time to do some work and listen to what you get as the gospel, you'll be misguided. And that is the concern to me during this election. Because all kinds of news will be manufactured. News will be manufactured against history as to what happened, how it happened. False promises would be given. Tall claims would be made on economy, this, that. And you need to really ask questions. Is it really true? Did I get the job that I thought I will get? Have we delivered on promises we made? And if you're not capable of finding that, you will blindly follow the path that people want you to follow. And then democracy gets affected. So media and democracy has a very, very strong relationship. At every step, media plays a role in democratic values and systems. And at every step, media also distorts these values and systems. An ultimate objective is for you to find truth. With this, I want to thank our team here. I want to thank you all for participating, and we can open up for a broader conversation. Thank you. Okay.
Yes, give me a minute, Sam. I'm just sitting at the layout. Okay, this should be okay.
Okay, was it all right? Was it okay?
Yes, Sam. So, with this psycho-fancy propagation and monopolization of media with money power, so you already spoke about the Godi Media, the lapdog of the current BJP government. The journalist ethics have gone down. We have only one choice to go to people directly. Rahul Gandhi already did it, Bharat Joda Yatra, where he saw, or we all of us saw, how it broke the false crafted $1 billion spent image, that Papu image. People saw the real empathetic Rahul, and they could connect. And now I think they look up to him actually for rebuilding India. So now he's going to do Bharat Joda Nyayatra. So my question is about, are we here to make the dent in 2024? So in case with this kind of monopolization of media, that Godi Media, they are not allowing us to get to hear our views, for example, BT, EVM or anything, whatever you say. So they are not allowing us to be heard. So do you think, are we here to make the dent in 2024? In case, in a remotest possibility, in case if we don't make that expected dent in 2024, what next, Sam?
See, 2024 election is all about the idea of India, as I said. If people of India don't think about the future of India and only vote based on what they hear in terms of propaganda, you'll get one result. If people go deep down in the real values of democracy, freedom, human rights, people will realize that we have created an environment of hate, polarized politics, polarized communities, lies, mistrust, and we have created an environment where institutions are captured, attack people through ED, income tax, courts, whatever. Civil society has not been allowed to function. And it is very difficult to have logical, rational, respectful, dignified conversation. As soon as you say something, people jump at you. Is that the kind of India you want to build for your children and your grandchildren? Or you want to enjoy the fruits of democracy that our founding fathers very carefully crafted? So we got to preserve that for your next generation or generation after that. I think that's the key question that people will have to answer while voting. It is not, again, about Modi versus Rahul Gandhi or Modi versus somebody else. It is all about what do you want as future of India. When we were getting independence, the question was very simple. Do you want independence or you don't want independence? And everybody joined in and said, yes, we want independence. You got to get to the same question today. Do you want democracy or you don't want democracy? It's one simple question. If you want democracy, you cannot have authoritarian attitude. You cannot have hero worship. You cannot have one man rule. You cannot have a system where other people's voices are not heard, not respected. Okay? You cannot have a system where orders come from the top and not from the bottom. I think there is one fundamental question that you have to ask. So when people talk about where is the narrative, where it's all, you know, to me, meaningless. This is the narrative. Okay? Narrative is not about what did you do? What did we do? How many kilometers of road you built and how many kilometers of road you had promised? You know, to me, those are micro issues. There is a larger macro issue like freedom at the time of 1947. In 2024, the real macro issue is democracy. Do you want democracy or you don't want democracy? Option is yours. Okay, if you don't want democracy and you want to live in an authoritarian rule, you decide. People of India will have to decide. Okay. And then you will have to find your truth from media based on why democracy? What is democracy? Who is democratic? Who is not democratic? Okay, who should I vote for to preserve my democracy? Okay. People come and go. Okay, no one is there permanently. It may be 10 years, it may be 15 years, it may be 5 years. But democracy will survive for hundreds of years. Authoritarian rule has created problems all over the world. We have seen what happened in the past in Europe. Okay. And we are a country of diversity. We need democracy by default. Okay. Democracy is the only way in India to survive. Okay. There is no way you can have authoritarian rule in a system which is so very different in every state. Different language, different culture, different, you know, food, different religion. Okay. I don't think India is cut out for anything except democracy. And our founding fathers were very clear. So the main question we will have to ask in 2024, do you like democracy? Do you want democracy or you don't want democracy? You take your pick. To me, it is that simple. It's a binary decision in 2024. Sorry, it's a long answer.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Sam. So the four pillars of democracy: legislature, executive, judiciary, and media. So the strength of democracy depends on upon the strength of each pillar and the way pillars complement each other. So right now we have a huge challenge because of the fourth pillar, which is the media, and also some of the other pillars, legislature, executive, judiciary, which are not completely independent in nature. See, it's a very chicken and egg thing. So maybe we are looking up to the change in government, which will help us establish the independence once again. But how are we going to solve this chicken and egg issues?
No, it's basically a very simple issue. Do you want democracy or don't want democracy? If you want democracy, you bring in people who will build democracy. So they'll bring institutions back to normal. They'll make media which is more fair and open. They'll make sure that civil society is allowed to function. It's that simple. It's not very complicated. We make it very complicated. Okay. You can't have these four pillars in the position we are in today to have a working democracy. So if you want to have democracy, first thing you have to do is make sure all your institutions are independent. Don't misuse them. Okay. That's a starting point. And you create an environment where everybody has a voice. And you work from bottom up and not top down. And let everybody come and present their views. Today, even the laws are being made without proper discussion. That is not democracy. In the name of this rule and that rule and nobody showed up. No. You've got to give people chance to participate in the process. Okay. Very little today is based on discussion and debate, which is fair. Okay. So authoritarian attitude ultimately leads to weakening of institutions. And that's what we are talking about. Okay.
Thank you. So, Priyamata, do you have any questions from the Twitter space?
Yeah, there's a question from Mani. Mani, could you unmute yourself?
Thanks.
Hi, Mani.
Am I allowed to ask three very quick questions?
Please.
Okay, thanks, Sam. So I'll ask them. So I have learned that BJP is planning to use some AI tool to flood the market with like a lot of fake content and also monopolize all communication. So is there a strategy to deal with that, like from the India Alliance's side? That's question one. Question two is, I had attended
We'll go one after another. Sam, do you want to take that?
Okay, let's go one after another so it's clear. I also will remember. Otherwise, I lose track probably. Mani, when somebody manufactures news using AI and social media, you will have to rely on public to find their own truth. You can't immediately go and say, they did this and this is wrong. Then it's into tutu meme. And that war can never be won with the kind of money today one party has. So you have to be practical in saying, look, this is my view, okay? And I'm not saying I'm right and people should take this advice only. People will have to decide whatever they and their parties decide. I'm talking as an individual. I won't fight that battle. I would fight that battle from truth platform. And every time they did something wrong, let's say with what I said and all, I'm not going to respond. It doesn't deserve any response. I am who I am. And if people have not done enough research on what I say and what I believe in, there is no way I can fight them. Because if I fight on one issue, they'll manufacture five more issues. Then I'll fight on five more issues, they'll manufacture 25 issues. Okay? So I do not want to get into that kind of media war. You make your news, you manufacture bad news, you manufacture false news. I trust people. People will make their choice. And if they make wrong choice, they'll pay for it. What can I say? Yeah. But don't expect me to respond to all that false news all the time. Mani, next
yeah,
one.
You can go. Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. Thank you, Sam, sir, for your views. The next two questions are about EVM, so I'll club them. I attended discussion that you had conducted. So in which you had promised that you would have a panel of experts, some scientists, some machine experts, and have a press conference. So that it's known to the public at large what the issues are with EVMs. And the second thing about EVM was, like, a lot of people hold the view that this is a fight that has to be fought. Like, it can't be ignored or kept to one side, and one can't go about like normal campaigning without having like EVMs, I mean, fixed in the sense India Alliance's demand or ballot papers. Because there's no upper limit on how far they could go to shift votes. Like, there's no technical limitation. Like, in the past, they may have limited themselves in order not to out their trick, but there's no upper limit. So this is a fight that has to be fought. So I don't see like Congress or any party, in fact, from the India Alliance openly acknowledging this as an issue yet. Like, that there is a problem and this is a fight we'll fight to finish, like as in until we have a solution, like, because it can't be fought half-heartedly. So those are the two questions, like your press conference schedule and whether this is going to be fought until there's a victory on that front. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mani. Very good question. I did promise to have a press conference. I've been working on it. It will be a Zoom conference and not a physical conference because we want global media to attend. But what has happened, Mani, in between is, one, Election Commission has responded to a letter that Jairam Ramesh wrote. And that letter doesn't say anything. So that has really taken some time in terms of discussion and all. Two, rightfully so, this issue has been taken up by people. It is not an issue that political parties should fight on their own. It is not something that I look to Congress to fight or NCP to fight or some other parties to fight. It is an issue for people to fight because it is my vote that is at stake. It doesn't matter which party. It has nothing to do with party. Can you assure that the vote I am casting is the vote you are going to count? And that is where I have doubt. That is why I have issue. Because you are not giving me paper receipt. And you are not allowing me to drop in a box that is not connected to anything. People will have to make this an issue. So earlier I had thought we will go into a lot of technical discussions. But now I have come to conclusion that technical discussion is tutu meme. It is not going to get us anywhere. I am not talking about hacking. I am not talking about what you do and what you don't do. I'm just talking about build the trust. Don't complicate my life. Give me paper receipt that I can hold in my hand and allow me to put it into a dabba that is not connected with anything else. Period. No more conversation. You may be right, you may be wrong, it can be hacked, it cannot be hacked. Let's not go there. So I'm going to have a press conference. It is in the works, but then in between this Ram Mandir on media has taken a lot of space. So I thought, let this be over and maybe we'll have a press conference after 22nd. Okay, otherwise, no matter what we say now, it's going to be in the background. So it is in the works. I have promised, so I'll keep my promise as much as I can. I've been working on it. I have not given up. But I find that people will have to take this issue. And it has to be a people's movement. Because it is all about citizens' vote. It is not about which party's vote. And that's the fundamental difference.
Thank you, Sam. So we have Arun Kumar Singh from YouTube. Media is a storytelling platform, more like business of publicity and propaganda, fear spreading, and typical government-controlled organ to cater to insatiated audience who manage for fresh thriller. People expect media to be honest, transparent, impartial, want to know full inside story about defects, diversions, functional deficiency of governance, disclaimer, skill and throttle freedom of media. Social communications are also misused with target objectives, politically loaded. So, Mr. Pitroda, you know social structure of India based on patriarchal, archaic, caste-based social order. Media is deeply promoting chasm and creating hubris of religious dogma that suit the ruling power. So, I think it's a more of a commentary. But if you have any comments, Sam?
No, I agree with Arun Kumar Singh. These are the sentiments of not just Mr. Kumar, but many of us, plus or minus 25%. We agree that media is manipulated. We agree that media is controlled by money power. We agree that in India it is very complex. But at the end of the day, we all have to find our own truth. If we can convince people to find their own truth during this election, I think results will be very different. Saying, fine, you enjoy all this news, but don't take it seriously. Okay. Decide what you want based on the values you believe in, based on the India you want to create. If it is democratic, fine. If it is authoritarian, that's also fine, because you are free to make your choice. But don't get sucked into all this song and dance, drama and debate, discussion, which don't mean anything. Okay, who are these people discussing? What is their qualification? What have they done in life? Okay. So I got to decide that my vote is very valuable. For that, I don't have a PhD or lots of money. Every vote matters. It is a piece of gold. Don't give away that piece of gold to petty promises. Keep that to make sure that your children and grandchildren's future is assured. That piece of gold is not for you. It is for your next generation. Today, I look at vote in India in 2024 is for the next generation and not for you. Okay. That to me is a big difference. Okay. What kind of a nation I want to build for my grandchildren and children? And not for me. Yeah. We are at a crossroads. And if you go in one direction, destiny is locked in. Okay. That is the issue today. And that is the narrative. Okay, narrative doesn't have to be too complicated. Okay, it is not just about creating jobs and improving educations and health. That's all given. I mean, who would say that I don't want to improve jobs? Who would say that I don't want to improve education, provide energy, clean environment? Okay, I want to do all that, but I want to do that in democratic system. I don't want to do all that in authoritarian system. I don't want to do that in top-down approach. I want to do that in bottom-up approach. So local people worry about their environment and not Delhi deciding what standards to create and what factory to set up and which fellow should get a license to set up a factory for battery. That's not the way it works. Okay. I want to decentralize everything. And that is possible in democracy. That is not possible in authoritarian system. Okay. I want to listen to the voices of the people. I want local domain experts to participate. Okay. I want to decide on the river that flows through my state and not Delhi make the decision. And I want to be nice to my neighbors. Okay. All of these issues require democratic mindset. So to me, the next election is all about a simple choice. Democracy versus authoritarian. You take your pick.
Sir, before, yeah. I just want to ask you a question. Yeah. So how did the US, Trump election also, you had this media biased in the US. So how did the US tackle and what reforms you think India needs, so that the media doesn't become a lapdog of the government in future? You know, we saw things in few days before, BJP trolls, IT trolls, literally Netflix had to pull down a movie just because they debated vegetarian, whether Lord Ram was a vegetarian or not. But this is the level of things that are gone forward now. So we are into very dangerous situations. The things are moving ahead in India. People tweet on Twitter and organizations literally act on it. So there's no discussion, discourse. It's just IT cell basically taking over everything. So how do you think, what reforms we need in future?
I would prefer that people get identified when they register on social media, saying this is my Aadhaar card, this is my driver's license or whatever, and I am responsible for what I say. Today, when the trolls jump, you don't know who these people are. It may be machine. Okay, so then the statistics will say 500 people said this and 50 people said that. But those 500 people are not people. It may be same guy 500 times. Okay. So I want authenticated behavior on social media. Today, you have unauthenticated behavior in social media. So if I get response from 500 people saying I'm bad, doesn't mean anything. You don't know who those 500 people are. Okay. So don't give me statistics which can be manufactured. All these polls and all that come in, I don't know how much weight to put in. Okay. So that's where I go back to my original thought that I got to find my own truth. If I'm not willing to find my own truth, then I get sucked into the debate. And I don't want to be a party to that. Okay. So that's, and your question.
What reforms would you suggest? That future of India is not again.
I would suggest a major reform saying you got to authenticate yourself on social media. So get all these, fake people out. Okay. So if you say something, you be responsible for it. I want to, see your face and I want to identify you saying you said this. Today, I can't do that. Okay. So that's a major reform.
Yeah, I know. And also about the television, sir, media, how they are becoming voice of the government, not of the people. So how do you think what should be done in future to avoid this?
No, I think you need media to be more balanced. You need to really come up with rules and regulations which sort of force you to give balanced view. There'll be some amount of bias anyway, you know, whether it is BBC or, you know, CNN, there is some amount of bias. But in general, it is fair. You take, for example, what is going on with Israel and Ghana. There is bias in the global news. Of course, there is bias.
Yeah.
Okay. You can't say there is no bias because people in Palestine have no money. Okay. So they can't buy news. So, but you have to make that judgment yourself. Okay.
Thank
so it never be very fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was some other question somebody had asked, which was in writing.
Whether the extrapolating Priyamada's question, whether the new media, the social media, who controls the narrative for the world, they should be regulated or not, Sam?
Social media, to some extent, should be regulated. We have talked about it at length. You see, this whole issue of digital citizens' human rights is still not addressed. The human right issue today, as it is in the UN document, is not about digital citizens. Digital citizens' human rights are not clear to us. And it will require maybe half a decade, 5-7 years of work to come to consensus on. But it's an important issue. You know, today, sitting here, I can comment on Indian election. Of course, you know, I don't have to be, you know, fellow sitting in, you know, Russia dabbles in US election. Okay, so everything has become global. It is no longer about Indian election. It is about global interference in Indian election also. Okay. And which is true with every country. So social media allows you that freedom. But at the end of it, ultimately, everything boils down to my ability to find truth. My ability to value what I value and vote accordingly. You know, you can get 10,000 hits and 10,000 different media. But if I say, look, I am committed to building a democracy stronger in India, message is clear. Okay, I don't care what anybody else says. And I cannot be changed by some media tweet or, you know, bombardment of some fake news because I have my feet on the ground. I am committed to democracy in India. And I don't want to let that go. Okay, so then my vote is very simple. Okay, I'm going to vote for somebody who is going to assure that democracy would be enhanced in India. Finish.
Thank you. Thank you, Sam. How are we doing on time, Sam? Can we go for
some more time? I'm okay.
I have a Harish Rangacharya from X. No one can question your patriotism. You left US job in your prime age 40 years ago to serve a nation. You came up with a creative solution for telecom revolution. What creative ideas can you give for SME sector to grow?
Was that Harish?
Harish Rangacharya.
Yes, Harish.
Harish Rangacharya.
Thank you, Harish. This is very important issue for India. Small and medium scale industry in India is basically the job creator. And the reason we have not been able to create the jobs because we have not focused on them. We have not funded them properly. At the National Innovation Council, we had series of programs to really help small and medium scale industries, especially in clusters. You know, we have about 200 major clusters in India. We have thousands of clusters. We have a bamboo cluster in Agartala, pharmaceutical cluster in Ahmedabad, furniture cluster in Kerala. We have a brassware cluster in Muradabad. Okay. All of these clusters consist of SMEs, which is basically a supply chain into bigger industries. Today, these SMEs don't get the kind of financing they need, because for banks, it is easy to give 1,000 crore loan to one big company than to give 1 crore loan to 1,000 companies. But if you don't give 1 crore loan to 1,000 companies, you don't build SMEs. So we have not provided funding, tools, innovations to SMEs. SMEs also include service industry. Take, for example, plumber, electrician, guy who paints house, carpenter. Okay. Can we fund them to modernize their tools? If I was a carpenter and I have to, you know, modernize my work, I need a new toolkit. Can I get new toolkit funded? Can I get some training programs? You don't have any of that. I'll give you an example. 40 years ago, you know, I was in, this is Rajiv Gandhi's time. I had just moved into 44 Lodi Estate, right in front of India International Center. And there was a painting that my wife wanted me to hang. And I kept saying, I'll do it, because I hang all the paintings in house. And I didn't get to do it because I was too busy. So my wife gave up on me and asked somebody to get a carpenter to come and hang some of these paintings. So I go there. And as soon as I enter the house, I see this fellow trying to nail a screw. Okay, here's a screw and he's nailing it. And I hold his hand right here. Okay. So he was shocked that this man who is a boss who would come and interfere in my work. I said, don't you ever nail a screw. He said, Saab, isme kya hai? I do it every day. I said, no. Let's get a piece of paper. Let's get a pencil. I drew nail and I drew screw. And I said, look, screw has to be screwed. Nail has to be nailed. So I said, let me see your toolkit. He had a jholi, like regular cotton theli, in which he had a little old drill, hand drill. And I was shocked that this poor guy, who was very capable, has never been taught some of these things, that nailing a screw is against my religion. Okay? And he was puzzled that I was like a madman, because poor guy has not been trained. Okay? I explained to him. Similarly, we had an electrician who had come, and there, you know, in India, you have 10, 12 switches on wall. So he was fixing all the switches. And then I came in and I started turning things on. And switch one, that bulb goes. Switch two, some other bulb goes. So I said, look, shouldn't there be some sequence? He said, Saab, yahan laga do na. You put some words. I said, no. I want you to wire with some sequence. First bulb, second bulb, third bulb. Okay. He could do it, but nobody asked him to do it. So I think SME requires huge, huge amount of work in India to train people, to modernize their toolkit, to give them new tools of CAD/CAM and everything, to give them new tools of social media to find work, to connect with others. Okay. But this is Sudra's work. Nobody wants to do it. Everybody wants to do Brahminian work. Okay? Because Sudra's work requires working with Sudras. Nobody wants to do that. That's why SMEs don't get attention. Big guys are Brahmins, big companies in their own sense. I don't mean exactly by caste, okay, by thought. So banks deal with the big guys. Bank don't want to dirty their hand with little fellows. They are the one who need help. So I agree with you, Harish. It's a very big challenge.
The carpenter guy didn't know that he was working under a carpenter's son.
I told him that my father was carpenter, you know. And another interesting story, I had President of India, what's his name? From Punjab, Jail Singh. So he and I had tea together once, and we were talking. This was in Rajiv Gandhi's time. And conversation led to some thing, and I said, "Sir, I'm a son of a carpenter." And he says, "Pitra Sahab, I'm also son of a carpenter." Jal Singh telling me. So I said, "Sir, Jesus Christ was also son of a carpenter." And he loved that. He said, "Okay, we should use this again."
Did you guys get to use that in some public forum?
No. This was at home, at his house. But he was a very pleasant person. You know, very pleasant person.
Good. So jumping on. Anurag from YouTube is asking, we know that BJP uses negative campaign very well. Then why we fall in trap around elections?
I don't like personally negative campaign. Okay, my campaign is very straightforward. Okay. And that is, do you want democracy? Or you don't want democracy? If you value democracy, your path is clear. If you want to get into tutu meme, if you wanted to get into why do I wear black shirts and not red shirt, or, you know, why do I keep beard and, you know, why do I color my beard? And all these questions, okay, are irrelevant. It has nothing to do with anything. Okay. What do I believe in? Do I believe in truth? Do I believe in trust? Do I believe in love? Would I respect you as a human being? Would I help you? These are fundamental issues today. Okay. So on one hand, you have an issue of future and systems. On other hand, you also have issues of jobs, economy, inflation, environment, education, health. The key is all of these things have to be done under democracy. Democracy will allow you to do these things better. Authoritarian government will not allow you to focus on this. Okay, I think that connection you have to make between democracy and development. Like we are making this connection today on media and democracy. You got to make that connection between democracy and development. Okay. So to me, first is democracy. Then comes development. Okay. If there is no democracy, what kind of development you are going to get?
2024 is about all getting back the democracy, preserving India. Okay. Arun Kumar Singh from YouTube is again asking, sensitization and participation of general people awareness and environment must be made with level playing field. Can we have system like US, each national party get equal opportunity in elections?
There's very little time left to do anything, Mr. Kumar. Level playing field will have to be created by people. Okay. Government is not going to create level playing field because their future is at stake. Rich people are not going to create level playing field because they are milking the system. Why should they create level playing field? So people will have to create their own level playing field. And people will have to really find for their own truth, decide what they value, and vote accordingly.
I see a very important question from Pillala Mari Srinivas. There is no representation of marginalized sections in the newsrooms, and the majority of mainstream newsrooms lack diversity in newsrooms, which is also affecting the credibility of news and democracy. That is why many independent journalists are coming out with their own YouTube channels and giving alternative opinions to some extent through social media controlled by the rich. How do you look at this phenomenon?
Srinivasan, I agree with you that YouTubers, new YouTubers in India now, 10, 15, 20, have the courage to stand up to main media and bring the other side of the story. So more and more people are watching those YouTubers, whether it is Ravish Kumar or 4PM, or there are many good ones. I've seen some of them. I don't remember all the names, but they're good. Okay, I admire what they say, what they do, and we need more of them. So slowly and slowly, young people will move to YouTubers and stop watching main channels. That's the answer. Why watch then all these, you know, Godi media? Forget it. Let them broadcast whatever they are broadcasting, but get your news from YouTubers and all. Okay. And that's a new phenomena, and I like it. In fact, I just recently watched something that Ravish had, which was really good, well balanced, well thought up about. These people are good. Okay. They are courageous. You need courage to say things they are saying today, because fear has been created that somebody will get after you. And these people are saying, we are not concerned about this. We will do what we need to do. You can harass us. And you need more of that. So the media over a period is going to move to independent YouTubers, people with courage to say things that need to be said. And you got to pay attention to them.
Yeah. And just extrapolating that question, marginalized section, what if we extend this caste thing? Is it like that? Are there more Brahminical voice in this current?
It's very, very good question. It's a better question than the YouTuber, according to me. And that is, who makes the news today? Who is delivering news? All pretty looking people, all well off, all from high caste. Okay. And you see very little from OBC, Dalit, tribal. You mean there is no tribal person who is on the news anchorman? No. Very little. So in India, like everything else, most of the important jobs are controlled by 10% of the Brahminian class. 90% of the non-Brahminian class, whatever the number is, doesn't have the opportunity. I get tons of emails, tons, from people, Vishwakarmas, because I'm supposed to be Vishwakarma. So they want me to do this, want me to do that. I said, look, I'm Vishwakarma, but I'm for everybody. Okay? I don't want to promote a caste. Okay? And they all feel that they have not been given the opportunity. I know the talent these people have. I mean, I have seen a few months ago, I was introduced to a guy from Rajkot who is making miniaturized trains. Yeah. Just a hobbyist, blacksmith, Vishwakarma, carpenter, blacksmith, same caste. And he showed me the stuff he has done. It is just mind-boggling. Okay. If he was in America, he would be famous all over. So I asked him, I said, how do you do this? He said, for the last 15 years, every day when I come back to work, from work, from 5 to 12, I do this. This is my hobby. But it has become a craft of miniature machines. He would be great in robotics. Okay. Nobody has used him. Nobody even knows about him. Because he's a little guy, he doesn't get an opportunity. Okay. So, in media also, there is no representation of our diversity. But which is true in vice chancellors, which is true in professors, which is true in scientists, which is true in politics, which is true everywhere. And that has to change with democracy. Next phase of Indian democracy is all about giving equal opportunity to others. So if I were to list the key challenges today as part of the new narrative, first would be democracy. Second would be equal opportunities to everybody. And that's where the census and everything else comes in. Okay. That phase is going to be very rocky for a while.
Yeah. Shyam, there are two questions from IWC. Kamal Khal, is it? Can you unmute and ask your question? Kamar? Mani, you can go ahead then.
Okay, thanks, Priyamada. Thank you, Sam, for the opportunity once again.
Yes, Mani.
I asked about like EVMs, and you had answered. So I just had a follow-up. Like you said, it is like a people's rights issue, and therefore it has to be a people's movement. And yes, sir, I do agree. Like it has to have a civil society front. But the part like on which I have a slight difference of opinion is that it's that I don't think it's quite correct to say that it's not a political party's issue. Like what I feel is that it's a case of like people's voters' rights, but it's expressed through like voting for certain political parties. So if like Congress is losing like votes and seats because of like rigging in the system, then they too are the stakeholders. And since
I agree with you. I didn't mean that. Maybe I didn't communicate well, but you are right.
Yes.
Okay, yes, I agree with you. But what I'm saying is the movement has to be people's movement.
I agree, sir.
That's it.
So what I just want to express one point of view.
Sure.
Like, of course, like IAC was a people's movement, mm-hmm. I understand, for example. Whether it was genuine or not is another issue. But what I mean is, like, political parties, unless they throw their full weight behind that, ban EVM or make the voting fair, whatever the campaign is, I see very little chance of it succeeding, really. Like, because we see how ruthless this government is, like in just crushing movements. And the other issue is that how common people perceive it is, like they think, whether you think it's right or wrong, they think that the major like affected party is the political parties. Like if votes are being taken away rightfully, I mean shifted, then political parties are the most affected people. And if they are not complaining, and if they are telling like their own workers, like if Congress is telling that it's a problem, but a small one, something that can be contained or managed, it's a 2% or 5% thing, then people automatically think that maybe it's not such a big issue, because no one has studied the electronics and part of it, and nor is it like openly available. So for truth, they rely on these signals. So if political parties are telling their own people, I go to Congress spaces and they tell me that it's a issue, but a limited issue, 2%, 5%, marginal seats, whereas I don't see it that way. Like if it's a programming thing, then there is no upper limit on how much votes could be transferred. It's just like a question of how blatantly the person wants to rig. So unless like Congress party throws, or every party like throw their full weight behind it, like they threaten to boycott unless like it's fixed, the movement I don't see as succeeding. And the fallout I see is also that people will probably like stop regarding like these opposition parties as representing them. Like they will not see them as putting up a genuine fight. they will see think that the leaders have some ED cases or whatever, some compromise on them, which is why they are fighting a rigged election. For the opposition to hold its credibility, it has to fight it to finish. Like, it has to threaten to boycott. I don't think it will come to that. Because with so many people on street, they will have to make some concessions. But if political parties say it's a people's issue, this is not a big thing, like this is a hypocritical thing to say for Congress to its own people, then there is a chance that the opposition will lose its credibility. Not because they have, like, we are 100% in tune with like Rahul Gandhi's values or Congress values. We love what they say. But are they like willing to fight for us? Like we want to preserve democracy. Like, we want to ask whether like Congress or any party is actually fighting for democracy. Do they represent us? Thank you, sir.
No, I agree with everything you have said. The difference is, who is going to lead this? Is it Congress party going to lead, or people are going to lead and Congress party joining? Or Congress party leading and people joining? I think that's the issue. We'll see how it shapes. Okay. I believe people should lead and Congress party should join. Because it's a larger issue. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay, maybe I'm wrong. I'm willing to accept that. Okay. But let's see what's happening. We'll have to just wait and watch. But what you are saying is very important. And I agree with what you have said.
Sir, I just to tell Mani that Congress party is there for the people, because we have this yatra coming on. So we should see many people joining around. So the fact that you're saying that...
Mani is saying that will Congress party lead the EVM debate?
Yeah, of course.
But
it's like a two-way thing, right? People also should support Congress party. Just if only Congress party is there, then it will be like, oh, it's just for the Congress's agenda. So we should have a backing of people as well. So it's a two-sided coin, basically. Yeah, thank you.
Sam, last but not least, there is a Ram Mandir question. Do you want to take it?
I will take anything you want. I have no problem. But there are more questions, I thought. I saw some more questions.
I thought, I'll go for this. Manav from YouTube is asking, today I saw Subramaniam Swamy old video regarding Rajiv Gandhi in his speech. Subramaniam Swamy says, Rajiv was in consideration of Ram Mandir, then why Rahul Gandhi and Sonia not attending on 22nd Jan, the Ram Mandir?
That is their option. Attend, not attend is their option. They made it clear. Okay, it's a personal option. I believe that religion is a very personal matter. Okay, let's not institutionalize it.
Yeah, sounds good. So I think there's a question from Viral Sejpal from Facebook. Can you help our country in many ways for future progress and development? Great knowledgeable man with the kind. So it's more of a commentary. I think there are a few other questions.
Thank you, Viral.
Yeah. And Libin Joseph is asking, does Indian National Congress have plans to use artificial intelligence to counter the malpractices in politics, such as quickly identifying fake voters in the list or targeting these voters in a better way?
The answer is yes. There is a team working on AI. It may not be to your expectation, but it's there.
What are the ways forward in the wake of paid fake news media? Ashish Vishwakarma.
What are the way forward? Can you go back?
In the wake of paid and fake news media.
Just make your own choice. Find your own truth. Okay. If you're not willing to find your own truth, they'll jump at you.
And the Thor is asking, don't you think that Congress has failed as an opposition party?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, it's a journey. There is no failure or success as such. It's a journey that you have to go through, you know.
And there are a few other commentaries about the same EVM thing. This is from Rafi.
Why not 1,000 Indians file PAL in Supreme Court to bind Election Commission to provide my vote? Put in the box. In the Pakistan, there was EVM machine that at the end of the polling, the result came immediately, come immediately. At the time polling the polling station, the RO closed the polling, voting figures comes, number of voters and which party get how many votes, then RO's sign the papers and give it to a polling agent at the same day. These figures forward and the result come with hours, within hours. So do you have any commentary?
Rafi, 6,500 people signed a petition as part of the report of the independent commission chaired by Justice Lokur, and this report was submitted to the Election Commission. They don't respond. They don't even acknowledge. You can go on internet and look for citizens' report to the Election Commission. Not 1,000, 6,500 people have signed, and they are all listed. Okay. The point is, the authoritarian mindset says we don't have to respond. Okay. And Supreme Court also hasn't intervened. That's where the frustration sets in. Okay. So you are right, Rafi. Not 1,000, 6,500 have already responded.
Anurag. Should we not bring all NRIs from all parties together and use the energy to save the democracy?
No, Anurag. Every party has their own NRI people. We have, Congress party has Indian Overseas Congress organization operating in 32 countries. Some are very active, some are not that active, some go back. So it's a sort of, it's all over. Okay. Like Kerala chapters are very active, Punjab chapters are very active, but you won't find very active chapter from Orissa as an example. So it varies.
Okay, there's a question from Shivanand Kokate from YouTube. Today, I don't even understand at large which is the USP to sell religious dreams to people who succumbed to it and vote for it. However, it's long learning process which we need to implement to make people think rationally. I think it's more of a commentary. Have anything to say?
Agree, but it's our job as enlightened, educated, reasonably well-off people to have this broader conversation with people saying, look, religion is not going to create jobs. Religion is okay. It's a personal thing. I respect who you pray. I respect your views. Okay. I'm not going to argue with that. But irrespective of what your religion is, irrespective of what you value, can we work together to build a nation and not hate each other just because you follow another religion? Doesn't matter what religion you follow, you are still my brother. Okay, still my family. Okay, I'm your neighbor. And if your child will have a problem, I'll be concerned about it. I don't care what your religion is. I think that is the attitude that we need. And that's the kind of democracy I'm talking about. Respect for diversity, inclusion, you know, justice, fairness, irrespective of whether you are Dalit or you are, you know, Brahmin, I don't care. You know, see, I'll eat with anybody. Okay, I'm not going to ask before eating with somebody saying, what is your caste? What is your religion? I don't care.
Yeah. I think you already summed up the answer for this question. What did Congress do to preserve democracy? I think the fraternal feeling what we have built over the whatever 70 years of rule, the unity in diversity, all. So go ahead, Sam. So what is your thought on this?
The biggest contribution of Congress party, according to me, after independence, has been to build a viable, functional, powerful democracy in a country as large as India. as complex as India, as diverse as India. And at the same time, plant right seeds for development of science and technology, modern India, future India, whether it is in education through IIT, IIMs, or in scientific laboratories, CSIR, agriculture research, space, atomic energy, milk production, vaccine, whatever. Look at the seeds Congress Party planted in 70 years. And look at the seeds we have planted in the last 10 years. We have planted seeds for hate. We have planted seeds for discrimination. We have planted seeds for lies. We have planted seeds for fear. These are the seeds we have planted. I mean, what a difference. And when these seeds grow, what will happen? And that's why I'm worried about 2024 election. That the seeds we have planted in the last few years don't give me much hope. I want to plant new seeds. Okay. I want to plant seeds that we planted right after independence. It was tough. Then we didn't have anything. Now we have something. Okay. Now we can take off. Okay. And I can tell you, it is possible for India to be the biggest economy in the world by 2047 even. It is possible because our numbers are large. Biggest economy don't mean much, okay? Because per capita income doesn't have to be that big when you have 1.5 billion people to be biggest economy. Because Chinese numbers are going down. Okay, so their per capita income may be going up, but their numbers are going down significantly. One estimate is that the Chinese today are close to a billion people. And it may be 700 million by 2050. If that's the case, China will not have the number advantage. But also, it is not very important to be number one. It is very important to make sure that we lift people at the bottom of the economic pyramid to a respectable standard of living.
So, closing thought, I just want to ask your thoughts. What's your favorite quote of Martin Luther King? Monday is Martin Luther King Day. So just want to ask your thoughts. And how do you see some of his thoughts are relevant for India and democracy or global for that matter?
Well, Martin Luther King, like Mandela, derived his inspiration from Mahatma Gandhi. I've studied Martin Luther King reasonably well. When he died, I was on television watching in America. I have carefully watched his movement, studied his speech, especially the one in Washington, D.C. He was for human rights. He was for equality. He was for nonviolence. All of these things he brought from India to America. Okay. It is the other way around. Everything he did had roots in India, in Gandhi's way of doing things. But the best part of the Martin Luther King movement was that blacks need to be given respect. Okay. When I was a student in Chicago in 64, 65, right around campus was all black population. Still it's there, but then it was noticeable. And a lot of people used to say, don't go beyond 35th Street. It is dangerous. And if you go there, you'll get shot, blah, blah, blah. And I tell you, as a young man, you know, I was 23. I went there. And I was very comfortable. They would all say hello to me, though I'm a little darker person. So I look like their brother anyway. Okay. And I had no issues. They were good. You know, once I needed some help and there was a guy, Joe, I had never met him. He was on the street and doing something. And he said, okay, I'll give you a ride. And very nice people. Okay, wonderful human beings. But we have labeled them as bad guys. Okay. I found out that very few Indian students would socialize with blacks, at least in those days. I can't comment now. Okay. So Martin Luther King really brought the issue of African Americans on the global platform, on the national platform. But still, things have not changed much. Black Lives Matter is an issue even today, after 50 years, 60 years, you know. It is a major issue.
So. Thank you, Sam. I think with that, we can close the session. And looking forward to continue the talk with another new topic next week.
Thank you, Sam. I want to learn more from Priyavadas of the world as to what do young people want. I really want to understand that. Okay, I'm here talking as an old man. Okay, but I want to understand from all of you, what is that you want? What can we do? It's one thing for me to go on saying these things, but it's important for me to listen to you also. So if you can organize that, I would really appreciate. Maybe 5-10 young people tell me what they want. Maybe next session we do that.
Yeah, we do that.
Saying, what do young people want? Let's select 10 people and let them each have a couple of minutes to say what is that they want. Okay. So I also learn from you. Okay. And respond to your needs and maybe you'll change my mind. I'm open. Okay.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay. So let's do that. I would be very interested in that. And then I want to understand, you know, little more about what are your main concerns, not what you want, but what are your main concerns? You know, one thing I've learned, I must tell you, Priyavada, is that Indian girls are much smarter.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I have a daughter, I know. They're terrific.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, they are just absolutely, you know, I can trust them any day. You know, they are very loyal, they are very sincere.
Yeah, and thank you.
We have not paid them their due respect. Okay.
Yeah.
And I believe I have 5 sisters, so I know it.
Yeah.
You know, and I have a sister who is a mathematician. Okay. They're all great. And my parents didn't even want to send them to, you know, high school and college. And we had to fight, essentially, saying, no, they are going to go to college. Yeah. We have not really given them the opportunity.
Okay. Absolutely, yes, sir. So even there is a lack of space in even the political.
Absolutely. Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
No women at all, so.
Everywhere it is bias. Because you see, if there is a job opening, you compare men against women for that job. The man has all the network because he has been smoking with them, he has been partying with them. Yeah. Okay. A poor girl is isolated. Okay, so all these men say, let's promote my friend. The girl may be more capable. Yeah, this is what happens in practical terms. Yeah. Anyway, it'll be interesting topic.
Yeah, next.
Okay.
Sure, I'll talk with Priyamata and figure out even a relevant topic for youth audience. Sam,
next let's time. Do a youth thing first and then we'll do one day woman thing.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah. So like a full woman space.
Yeah, full woman. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. We're very interested.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm sincerely concerned about it because I know I have very capable sisters. I have a youngest sister is a fantastic painter. I mean, unbelievable painter. Never got a chance in life.
Mm.
Okay. She could have been a very famous painter. Yeah. We just don't give them the opportunity.
No space.
Anyway, so we'll talk. Yes, thank sir. You, everybody.
Thank you. Appreciate. Thank you, sir.
Love you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.